verse 4 to 6. Sometimes later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Soreh, whose name was Delilah. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, "See if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength and how we can overpower him so we may tie him up and subdue him. Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me the secrets of your great strength and how you can be tied up and subdued." So today's message will be given from Pastor Luke.
Thank you, James, and praise band. All right. Can we go switch? All right. Well, good morning, everyone. It is, like always, great to have you guys here worshiping with us this morning. And like what Mike was saying this past week, if you guys didn't know, we had BBS. And it was really cool to see a lot of students, a lot of people come and volunteer. This is our group picture that I was taking. Just really quick, again, if you did help out this past week, could you guys stand up just so we could, again, acknowledge you? And let's give them a hand, all those people who helped out this week. It's cool. You guys can grab a seat. Thanks, you guys. It is really cool to see the church kind of come together. You know, people from all different services, different languages, different ages, coming to serve this community. And I'm glad you guys had the chance to do that. It was really cool to see a lot of kids. Again, we had over 300 people total, including the volunteers. I think 160 students or something like that. And so it's really, really great. And hopefully, that we'll continue to serve God with just this same kind of passion, excitement, and really remember that God has the power to do a lot of different things, right? Hold on. All right. We are in the book of Judges, and we've been going through Judges over the summer. And one of the things that we've seen as we go through the book of Judges is that it is filled with a lot of broken people and a lot of messed up people. And this isn't just the Israelites, but it's the leaders that God actually wants to use to lead the people, you know, the Israelites. Even the leaders are pretty messed up. They're pretty broken. And it's kind of crazy because we see that God still uses them, uses these people. A lot of these judges aren't very good role models that we shouldn't follow after. But, you know, God is good and God is faithful, and God still takes these people, uses these people to do his work. And so 2 weeks ago, we started looking at the character of Samson. And I am waiting for Hollywood to do a remake of Samson and Delilah, Samson's story. I think they did one, I think, in like way back when. You know, they've been making all these remakes like Exodus and like Moses and Noah and stuff like that, both which were not biblical at all. You know, Samson has full of just stuff that Hollywood gobbles up, like violence and shady women and, you know, people like backstabbing one another and, you know, betrayal and, you know, all this stuff, right? And so blood and gore, that's what Samson's about. And I'm waiting for Hollywood to come out with a Samson movie. But anyways, 2 weeks ago, we kind of started on the story of Samson. And if you kind of look through Judges 14 and 15, Pastor Tim preached on this. And we see kind of this background of Samson. Let me give you just a quick recap, just so we know where we're all at. Samson was in a time, grew up in a time when the Philistines were the ones that were the enemies of God's people. Okay, so the Philistines were the bad people, quote-unquote bad people. And Samson's parents were actually pretty devout followers of God. And they loved God, and you know they obeyed God. And God said, "Hey, you know, we're going to give you a son, and his name's going to be Samson. You guys are named Samson, and the one thing about him is he's going to have great strength, but he cannot cut his hair." Okay, that's kind of his promise, this covenant that I'm going to make. Okay, it's not that he has long hair; that's because he has power. Okay, the power doesn't come in his length of his hair, but it's this commitment that they made. Okay, that hey, okay, this is the way that I'm gonna use you as long as you're fully committed to me, all right? And so Samson kind of does that. He keeps his hair long, and he goes out and kind of causes trouble for the Philistines. But we see his character. His character isn't a very, again, not someone you want to kind of mimic, okay? He's very prideful. He doesn't really care about what God is calling him to really do. And he kind of does his own thing. He's the one who kind of goes out of his ways to pick fights with the Philistines. He's the one causing trouble. He marries a Philistine woman, marries the quote-unquote enemy, right? And so he doesn't really care kind of what God has for him. And he's just kind of living his life, enjoying his life, and causing trouble for the Philistines kind of along the way, all right? And so we're going to be looking at chapter 16 in Judges. But before we do that, let me go ahead and pray, and then we can continue on. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you again, first and foremost, just for this past week, for VBS, and again, just the many students that were able to come out, that we were able to share God's love with them, and we pray that may continue, that they may continue to know about you, and that we as a church, that we would continue to reach out to the community around us to share your love with the world around us. Today, I pray as we get into your word, into the gospel, that we would again see these truths that stand out, that you'd open up our hearts, our minds, and that we would be able to, just hear from you. So may you just bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I'm going to start with a video, a children's book that is kind of, somebody kind of read it, or kind of, I don't know how to say it. Yeah, just, we'll play it.
Frog and Toad Together by Arnold Lobel. Cookies. Toad baked some cookies.
These cookies smell very good, said Toad.
He ate one.
And they taste even better, he said.
Toad ran to Frog's house.
Frog? Frog? Cried Toad. Taste these cookies that I've made.
Frog ate one of the cookies.
These are the best cookies I've ever eaten, said Frog.
Frog and Toad ate many cookies, one after another.
You know, Toad, said Frog with his mouth full, I think we should stop eating. We will soon be sick.
You're right, said Toad. Let us eat one last cookie, and then we'll stop.
Frog and Toad ate one last cookie. There were many cookies left in the bowl.
Frog, said Toad, let us eat one very last cookie and then we shall stop.
Frog and Toad ate one very last cookie.
We must stop eating,
cried Toad as he ate another.
Yes, said Frog, reaching for a cookie. We need willpower.
What's willpower?
Asked Toad.
Willpower is trying hard not to do something that you really want to do, said Frog.
You mean like trying not to eat all these cookies?
Asked Toad.
Right, said Frog.
Frog put the cookies in a box.
There, he said. Now we will not eat any more cookies.
But we can open the box, said Toad.
That is true, said Frog. Frog tied some string around the box.
There, he said.
Now we will not eat any more cookies.
But we can cut the string and open the box, said Toad.
That is true, said Frog.
Frog got a ladder. He put the box up on a high shelf.
There! Now we will not eat any more cookies.
But we can climb the ladder and take the box down from the shelf and cut the string and open the box, said Toad.
That is true, said Frog.
He climbed the ladder and took the box down from the shelf. He cut the string and opened the box. Frog took the box outside and shouted in a loud voice,
Hey birds! Eat all cookies!
Birds came from everywhere. They picked up all the cookies in their beaks and flew away.
Now we have no more cookies to eat,
said Toad sadly.
Not even one.
Yes, said Frog. But we have lots and lots of willpower.
You may keep it all, Frog, said Toad. I am going home now to bake a cake.
Cake? You silly.
Frog and Toad eating cookies. I don't know how many of you like Frog and Toad there, because they have a lot of different other stories. I don't know how many of you guys have been in that situation like Frog and Toad. I know I have, where we say to myself, right, just one more, you know, just one more French fry, right, just one more last chip or one more whatever it is, chicken nugget, whatever it is, right, just one more, even though I'm stuffed, one more bite, right. We kind of just keep going. What they talk about here, Frog and Toad, is, you know, that we need willpower. You know, that's what we need. Right? We need lots and lots of willpower to be able to overcome whatever it is that we don't want to do. Right? We need willpower. And willpower, I think, is a great thing to have and a great thing that we should hopefully use and work at, right, to be able to have some self-control. And when it comes to temptations around us, I think that's a good place to start. The Bible even talks about that in 1 Peter. It says this: be self-controlled, right, and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And so even the Bible says, hey, it's good to start there. It's good for us to have self-control, to be disciplined, to really, hey, know, you know, what we need to try to overcome whatever temptations may come our way. Okay, that's a good first place to start. But there's actually a lot more, okay, than just having willpower to be able to overcome temptation. And the Bible talks about other things that we should have or what we should do if we want to overcome temptation. And we'll get into that along the way. But let's go ahead and look at the story of Samson again. And we're in Judges chapter 16 again. So if you have your Bibles, you guys can open up there. Judges chapter 16. And this is a story, pretty famous story, of him and Delilah. But before we even get there, we see something with Samson, okay? And this is kind of just throughout his life. He deals with a lot of, again, shady women, okay? And so in the start of chapter 16, he is with a prostitute, okay? He goes and he finds this prostitute and he stays the night with her. And as he was there, the Philistines, again, they're thinking, hey, okay, Samson, he's vulnerable at this time. We're going to go, and this is their plan. We're going to wait until the morning, and then we're going to, like, attack him. We're going to ambush him. Okay, but for some reason, like, they I guess they fell asleep, or God had them fall asleep and not wake up, so that what happens is Samson actually wakes up, and he goes to the gate, like, the city gate, and he actually carries the gate off and puts it on a hill. This kind of a way of just kind of mocking them, kind of showing them up, saying, like, hey, you guys can't stop me. And so Samson just kind of, again, just kind of messing around. He's kind of just doing his thing. And then in the passage that James read for us following, we see this famous story of Samson and Delilah. Okay, Samson and Delilah. And the story goes, right, that he falls in love with this lady called Delilah, and the Philistines tells her, hey, what you need to do is you go and seduce Samson, right? Tell us where his great power lies. Right? How can we get rid of his great power? Because throughout Judges 14 and 15, you know, throughout his life so far, he is just messing. He's causing so much trouble. He's, you know, killed a lot of us. You know, he's done all these things. How can we stop him, right? And so we'll give you some money, Delilah, if you can go and you know, and figure out how to seduce him and have him reveal his secret to us. And so Delilah says, sure, I'm going to try this. She goes on and she tells Samson, hey, you know, honey, baby, whatever, right? Hey, where is your strength? You know, where does your power come from? You know, like, you know, you're so strong. Tell me how, you know, if I was to supposedly want to, you know, subdue you, and how can I do that, you know? Just hypothetically, right? No. And so Samson, you know, he comes up with this plan. He says, oh, well, if you tie me up with 7 bowstrings, you know, fresh bowstrings, you know, that's going to keep me down, right? And so Delilah goes and tells the Philistine, hey, okay, 7 bowstrings, tie him up. This is how we're going to do it. So that night, she does that, ties him up with 7 bowstrings. She says, Samson, the Philistines are here. He wakes up, bam, you know, the strings just break like nothing, and he goes and he defeats the Philistines. She's like, oh, Samson, you know, you tricked me, you know, why are you messing with me? Come on, you know, where's your real source of power? So she goes, he goes, okay, well, okay, yeah, I was lying to you. You tie me with rope. Rope is much thicker than bowstrings are thin, right? So tie me with rope, and then I can't be stopped. Right, so again, Delilah goes, tells the Philistines, tie him up with rope, this is what I'm going to do. She does that, again, hey, Samson, Philistines are here. He gets up, bam, right, the ropes break, he breaks the ropes, he goes out, he defeats the Philistines. Again, she's like, ah, Samson, whoa, you know, why are you trying to mess with me, right? Tell me your source of restraint. And he goes, all right, so this is what you do, you get my hair, you tie it up in a loom, and you put a pin in it, and that's how it's going to be done, right? And so she does that, and then as the Philistines come in the next day, he takes out the pin, gets up, nothing happens, right? He defeats him again. She goes, all right, last time you already messed with me 3 times, right? 3 times you have mocked me. She says, this is in verse 10. Behold, you have mocked me and told me lies. Now please tell me, how might you be bound? And so in verse 11, he says. That was 13. So he says, finally says, he tells her, you know what, if you cut my hair, right, then I really will be, you know, be weak. And so he does that, she does that, she cuts his hair off in the middle of the night. She says, Samson, the Philistines are here. And when he wakes up, his strength actually is gone because he has revealed the source of his power. And he is taken captive. They gouge out his eyes, which is pretty bloody, and they mock him, and what they do is they kind of put him in this mill and have him kind of just churn mill like an ox, like what an ox would do, and they're just kind of, he's a slave labor, like actual manual labor. Yeah, you go and, you know, do what the oxes usually will do. You just go around, walk in a circle, mill our grain for us, right? And so that's what he's doing. Now for Samson, his temptation that we kind of talk about was with Delilah, right? Delilah is trying to seduce him, try to get him to reveal the source of his power, right? Trying to have him break his commitment with God, right? Basically, his, you know, God has told me to do this. What can I do to get you to not do what God wants you to do, right? And so for all of us, you know, our temptation comes in a lot of different ways, okay? But we do face it, and we do have this temptation, like, hey, what if? You know, what if I do this? You know, and that's the kind of temptation that we're going to have every single day. So the first thing, there's a couple things that I want us to see. And the first thing I kind of want to look at is this idea of temptation, okay, and how temptation, what that kind of looks like. And the first thing I want us to see is that temptation is very persistent. Okay, temptation is very, very persistent. We are tempted not just once, and if we are tempted and then we can deny it that first time, if we have enough willpower and say no, then the temptation is going to go away. Right? That's not the case, right? And I think all of us kind of know that, right? That temptation, you know, is an ongoing thing. It's a constant thing that we struggle with. And this is how we kind of see it in the story of Samson and Delilah. This is what it says, 15 and 16, Judges says this. It says, and she, Delilah, said to him, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these 3 times, and you have not told me where your great strength lies. And when she pressed him hard with her words day after day and urged him, his soul was vexed to death. And I think that is very like temptation. Okay, temptation is something that we struggle with day and day and day with, and it's kind of there with us. And it doesn't go away, and it kind of breaks you down, and it chips at you. And that's what temptation is, right? It kind of does that with us. And we see this, that it's very persistent. And we have to be aware of that, that it is very persistent, that it won't stop. Just because we can deny it once, whatever it is, just because we can, you know, live with God in the right way once, that temptation doesn't go away. Even after we become a Christian, and I wish this was not the case. I wish that once we become a Christian, our lives are smooth sailing, there's no more temptations, and we can just walk with God, you know, faithfully. But that's not the case, right? There's always going to be some struggle that is there. And we have to always be, that's why the Bible says, always be alert, always be aware, always be ready that there is something out there, devil is out there trying to trip us up. You guys have probably heard it said that, you know, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. For Samson, he was fooled four times. You know, I don't know what that means. But, you know, there's this idea that I think we need to be aware that, hey, okay, it's going to be there, right? This temptation is always going to be there. And we need to do certain things, take certain actions, take certain steps to not fall into our temptation. Okay, so that's kind of the first thing I just want us to be aware of, okay? Temptation is persistent. Okay, temptation is persistent, and it will be there. The second thing that kind of ties along with this is that there's a progression that goes along with this temptation, okay? If you guys look at how what Samson does, he gets a little bit deeper and deeper every single time he's seduced. Every single time he gets a little bit more and more not aware, I guess, of what's going on, or maybe just more he thinks he can handle it. But what we see here, right, the first time is bowstrings. The bowstrings are thinner, right? And so he says seven bowstrings are pretty thin. And he ups it up a little bit. He says, all right, how about rope? Rope is a little bit thicker, right, a little bit stronger. And then he goes on, his next time is, hey, he actually starts getting closer, his hair, right, not cutting off his hair, but he says, kind of mess with my hair a little bit. And eventually he says, hey, you know, he actually tells, you know, cut off the hair, right, and that's where he goes. Along the way, again, he could have stopped it, right? He should have known. He probably didn't know, right? Actually, the passage is pretty clear. Like, you know, she says to him, hey, you know, how can I, you know, Delilah tells her, how can I subdue you, right? Where is the source of your strength? You know, how can I make you weak? It's kind of obvious, but he doesn't care. And I think that's, again, part of his character that we'll talk about, his pride issue. But there's a path that goes along, right, before we actually fall off that cliff, right? Before we actually step over the line, there's a lot of different steps that you can kind of take before you actually get there. And I think that's the same thing with temptation, okay? That even though we are tempted, God will continue to give us opportunities to not fall deeper into that temptation. We just need to make choices along the way. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 10:13, right? No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with the temptation, you'll also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Temptation will be there. The God will allow you, give you opportunities to be able to leave that temptation. You just need to take those steps to do it. Andy Stanley, he's a pastor, and I like some of the stuff that he preaches on. One of the illustrations he gave kind of about this is about, like, when two people, like, have an affair. He says, you know, a lot of times people don't, you know, they don't wake up and then they're just like, you know what, I'm going to have an affair today, right? It's little steps that take. For example, it's, you know, the real beginning, you know, it's, oh, you know, this other person just has a problem, let me be a good friend to them and listen to them, so they hang out more and more, and then, oh, let's just have a meal together, you know, even though, so we can talk more about your problems, and so they have a meal together, and oh, you know what, you know, you seem so lonely, you know, let me just go and comfort you, and, you know, there's little steps that people take, you know, before they actually finally get to falling into that sin, and I think it is the same with us. Whatever it is, that there's little steps that along the way, and if we are wise enough, if we are smart enough, we can be aware of that. Say, hey, you know what? This is leading me down the wrong path, right? I'm going down the wrong way. Let me take steps to move away from that, right? There's always choices. You have had choices that you can make every single day. What are the choices that you make, right, in every situation? And hopefully we are wise about that, that, hey, you know, this is my struggle. Whatever it is, you know, I'm not going to put myself in that situation, right? I'm going to be wise and not do that. If you struggle with alcohol, probably not the best place to hang out is a bar, right? I mean, that just kind of makes sense, right? If you struggle with pornography, maybe, hey, you need to cut your internet time down or less or not at all. If you struggle with envy or jealousy, hey, maybe, you know, going on Facebook and seeing other people's stuff always makes you jealous. And well, maybe you don't need to go on then. You know, find whatever it is that, you know, that kind of you struggle with and say, you know what, I'm going to take steps and put myself in positions and situations so that I don't fall into that sin more easily, okay? There's always choices that we can make, and I think there's a progression that goes on before we finally tip over the edge, and God gives us a lot of opportunities to escape. He will. We just need to be taking those steps, okay? We need to be actually doing those things, okay? So that's the second thing that I want us to see, is that temptation is, there's a progression that kind of goes along with it, okay? So it's persistent, there's a progression, and along the way, hopefully, we're making correct decisions to get us out of that, the going down the wrong path. The other thing that I see here, and especially with Samson, is this idea of pride. And this pride really shows up in his life. I think for Samson himself, he always kind of did it on his own. And he didn't really take, you know, things very seriously. And he's just kind of like, whatever, I can do it on my own. I'm so strong. You know, I can just beat up people. And we see what happens at the real end, after his hair is cut. I like this verse because I think it's very, shows a lot about the way that he's been thinking, right? Judges 16:20 says, "And she said," Delilah said, "the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And he woke from his sleep and he said, I will go out as just the other times, shake myself free," right? But he did not know that the Lord had left him, right? After he had told Delilah, you know, his secret, after he had already disobeyed God and, you know, not broken up his covenant with God, his promise with God, you know, he was weak. But in his mind, he's like, whatever, I can still do this on my own, right? And I think for a lot of times, perhaps for us, you know, we feel like we can do things on our own. Maybe certain sins, certain struggles that we struggle with, we're like, hey, you know what, I can do this on my own. Or maybe the Asian-ness of us is like, you know, I don't want to bother other people. I can, you know, they can, you know, deal with their own thing. I'll deal with my own thing. But I think it's really important for us and to have good accountability partners, especially when it comes to temptation, okay? The things that you struggle with, hopefully for you guys, that you guys can find people that you trust, okay? Again, find people that you are close with, who you can open up and share these things with, like, hey, you know what, this is my struggle. This is where I'm weak. Please help me, right? Please keep me accountable. Please make sure that I am, you know, walking on the same path, you know, that God desires me to walk on. We don't need to do this on our own, right? Our Christian walk, our Christian faith isn't a solo mission. And I'm sure if Samson had some better, you know, some better accountability partners, they would have told him, hey, you know, you're sleeping with the wrong person. You know, you're in a wrong relationship. You know, you need to get out of this one because she's messing with you. But he didn't, right? And he didn't have that. And he, again, thought that he can do things on his own and take care of things on his own. Don't let pride be a source of your fall, okay? And hopefully you guys will be humble enough to be able to find, again, good people, good friends, good support system around you so that, you know, that you can, when temptation comes, you can turn to these people and they can pray for you, they can be beside you, you can you know, talk with them about it. So what can we do? Okay, temptation is out there, okay, and these are just kind of things I think that we see. There's this persistency that temptation has. There's this progression that we kind of go on. And a lot of times, you know, again, we don't need to do this on our own, right? Don't have a pride, don't be prideful and be humble about it. But there's a lot more that we can do. This is what the Bible says. There's a couple of things, I think, besides being self-alert or being self-disciplined and being aware, there's a lot of other things that we can do to help counter against temptation. So here's four things. The first thing that we need to do is we can run away. Okay, 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee the evil desires of youth. Says, you know, get away, run away right away. Right? Whenever that temptation comes up, don't linger. The good example of that in the Bible is of Joseph. All right, when he was being seduced, right, he left and he left right away. There's this urgency there, right, that when we're tempted, not to kind of hang around, just like, let me see what's going to happen, just to see what's going to happen. That's never a good deal. Okay, you need to leave that source, whatever it is that temptation is, to go and do something else. I think, find other things that you can focus on, right? Hopefully, you know, if it's like worshiping God or, you know, doing something else, hanging out with friends that, you know, can take your mind off, whatever that is, we need to leave, call somebody, do something, but leave that temptation. Don't hesitate, right? Don't wait around. In the story of Frog and Toad, I think what they did at the real end was good. Hey, get rid of it, right? The birds came and ate it and took it away. That source of temptation is gone. It's not there anymore, right? That's the best way to get rid of temptation is to get rid of it, right? To leave it completely, right? So that's what we need to do. Another thing that we can do, it says in Galatians 5:16, you know, walk by the Spirit, and He will not gratify, and you will not gratify desires of the flesh, right? Walking in the Spirit, it starts by, you know, spending time with God, having a close relationship with God, okay? Temptation is a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual battle that we face every day, okay? And so the best way to counter that is to have God on your side, right? The Holy Spirit living in you, and to be attuned to that, okay? So the more time we spend with God, the more time that, you know, our relationship with Him is close, if we're doing desire, if our desires are what the Spirit desires, He desires, what does the Holy Spirit desire? Good things, holy things, right? And so that's what we should have our heart after. And we're set after that, then, you know, the desires of our flesh, we can be able to battle that, okay? So walk in the Spirit, okay? Walk in step with God. Another thing that we can do, these are all hopefully pretty, you know, obvious to you guys, but maybe something we don't always do, but Psalms 119:11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you, right? Spending time in God's word is it's good. We need to read it. How did Jesus, when He was tempted, how did He counter the devil's attacks, right? He quoted scripture, right? He knows the Bible, He knows it well, right? He knows God's word, and He has hidden that in His heart, and so that hopefully for us, when temptation comes, that there'll be verses, reminders, hey, this is what God's heart is. God desires me to live this way and not this way, right? And hide these things, right? Hide God's word in our hearts. And then the last thing, also kind of very obvious, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. You know, the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. This was said in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was praying, and He told His disciples, hey, pray with me. You know, stay up and watch and pray with me. And they couldn't do it. They fell asleep, right? They're so tired, they fell asleep. But there's this spiritual truth in here that says, hey, you know what? If we want to, again, we need to pray. You know, we need to spend that time with God. And we can have the most willpower that we want. We can have the desire as much as we want to fight that temptation. But our flesh is weak. Yeah, we are weak, and we can't do it on our own, right? We need God's power to be able to help us overcome these temptations, right? And so pray even more when those temptations come up, okay? So those are just some things, again, kind of obvious, I think, and if you have grown up in the church, these are probably truths that you have heard of, but putting them into practice is a lot harder, and hopefully we'll be able to do that. You put these things into practice about really walking with God. So the first thing that we kind of see from the story of Samson is this idea of temptation. Okay? And he's facing these temptations, and we will face temptations in the same way. And hopefully, you know, we will make better choices than Samson did and be able to overcome that. There's two other things that I kind of just want to point out before I close my time. I think another thing that Samson wasn't very fully aware of, or what he didn't do correctly, was that he was not very serious. Okay, this is a serious cat, and if you look at him, he's very serious. His face, he's not smiling. He's serious. He's taking his job seriously. He's a serious cat. All right, sorry, swear word. You guys have seen more than that. He's very serious. That's what this is. All right. Now, I think for Samson, for it comes up to him, he was not very serious about his job, okay? God had called him to do something great, okay? You need to be serious in being faithful to me, right? I've called you, I've raised you up, you're going to be the person that I want to deliver my people from the Philistines. And instead, if you kind of look at his life, what did he do? He kind of just went around. He, again, slept with the enemy, right? He was, you know, spending time with prostitutes. He was trying to make bets with the people of Philistine and, you know, trying to swindle them and do all the things. And then when he's, you know, he goes and just, like, kills people randomly. He you know, disobeyed God. He ate, Pastor Tim mentioned this 2 weeks ago, when he ate from the carcass of the lion that he killed. That was something that he wasn't supposed to do as a Midianite. He was dirtying himself. But this is kind of what his attitude was, right? He didn't really care about his calling. And I think it's important for us, okay, as each one of us are called to be disciples of Christ, if you guys have committed your life to take it more seriously, okay, to not just be like, you know what, I'm a Christian and that's cool, you know, I've been baptized and that's that, I'm done, and, you know, I'm going to just kind of go on with my life. But God has given us this great call, okay, to be disciples after him is a serious thing, and we should take it seriously. This is what Billy Graham says. He says, salvation is free, but discipleships cost everything we have. And I think that is true. Okay, being a Christian is pretty easy in the sense that if you want to be saved, it's really easy. You just need to believe in God, right? Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Give your life over to him. Done. You're saved. But following him day by day and really living as God desires you to live, that's tough, right? And there is, and Jesus talks about it a lot, of what it costs to be a disciple, to give up everything and to follow after him. And I hope that, you know, for us, that we would have that mindset that, hey, you know what, you know, being a Christian is a big deal, you know, and I'm gonna do my best to live as God desires me to live, because this is what God's, you know, because I'm a disciple of him, and I'm gonna follow after him as closely as I can, okay? And so take your faith seriously, okay? Take your belief seriously. And the last thing that we see here, and if the story of Samson just ended where I finished kind of telling the story, that'd be really sad. But God does redeem him, and this is kind of the ending. Let me go ahead and read the ending for you guys. Judges 16, 28 to 30 says, then Samson called to the Lord and said, O Lord God, please remember me, please strengthen me only this once, O God, that I may be avenged on the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson grasped the two middle pillars on which the house rested, and he leaned his weight against them, his right on one hand, his left on the other. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed with all his strength, and the house fell upon the lords and upon the people who were in it. So the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he had killed during his life. God, at the real end, you know, was able to use Samson. And I think a really important thing to note is this. Okay, the words that he uses in the first 28 says, O Lord God. From the Hebrew, it says, is Adonai Yahweh, Elohim, which means Master, Covenant, Keeping God of Israel, Strong One. And by Samson calling out to God in this way, it's significant because it shows that he really did repent in the cell when he was, you know, being humiliated and probably, you know, having to push this mill round and round in circles, that he finally came to grasp that, hey, you know what, that God's calling on was a great thing, and he did repent, he did, you know, turn back to God, and he did say, you know what, okay, you know, I, you know, forgive me, God, you know, I messed up, my life has been a mess since, you know, from the beginning, he hasn't done what God has desired him to do, and at the real end, you know, he finally does kind of what God does, right, desires for him to do. So we see him do this. He does a repentance. He turns away from his sin. He turns back to God. And God was able to use him still to defeat the Philistines, to be able to pull down the gates and crush the people. And he defeated more people that one night than his whole life of not obeying God. Right? And I think that's the thing that God desires, again, for us, is, you know what? Even though we're sinners, even though we fall to temptation, even though we mess up time and time again, that if you repent, if you ask for forgiveness, God will forgive you, okay? That God will use you still, that God still uses us, even though we're messed up, broken people, like Samson and like a lot of the other judges that we go through. None of these people are perfect, right? And yet God uses them. And for us, I hope that we would be willing to humble ourselves when we fall, when we mess up, to turn back to God and say, God, you know what? I messed up. Help me to truly repent, turn away from whatever that sin is, walk in the way that you desire, and continue to use me in however you want me to use me. That's what God's desire is. And so this is the story of Samson. I think it's, again, a pretty pretty exciting one. There's actually a lot that kind of goes on. But there is a redemptive side of it at the real end. You know, God does use him to fulfill his promise in the sense of, you know, destroying the Philistines and doing what God wanted him to do, called him to do. And for each one of us, again, I think it's important to know that, hey, God wants to use you, will continue to use you, as long as you are able to kind of repent and turn back. I didn't put this in my slide, but just thinking about this now, there's been recently, I think there's a few like prominent Christians, leaders who have fallen from grace, and, you know, who have done things that, you know, aren't very, you know, wasn't pleasing to God. One of them was actually the son-in-law of Billy Graham, Tullian, and he had an affair. And but it's kind of cool. He had a Facebook post, and I saw this on Facebook, where he kind of wrote his his confession, and he was saying that, you know what, he understands that he messed up, and he's a sinner, but he at first he wants to hide from it. He wants to say, you know what, I messed up. And he doesn't want anyone else to just look at him, right? Because he messed up. He doesn't want the attention anymore. But then he was thinking about it. He's like, you know what? I still really believe in the gospel of grace. And the more, you know, I need to tell people that, hey, I'm a sinner, and that, you know, God can still redeem, you know, these broken people, right? Broken people like me, and that he still believes what he believes. And I think that's important for people to do, right? To be able to be honest about their sin and to come forward with it and be like, you know what, I messed up and I need to repent, and I hope that, you know, God will still use me in a powerful way. And so I hope that is the case with you guys. I don't know if any of you guys have stuff that you're holding on to that you're afraid to kind of let go of and you're ashamed of or whatever it is. But know that God loves you so much, and he will forgive you if you repent, if you ask for forgiveness, and that he will continue, can use you in the way that he desires to. So, let's hang on to that promise. All right, let's go ahead and pray. And ask the worship team to come up. Father God, we want to thank you again just for the story of Samson. We see how he has strayed from you, how he was, you know, didn't really take his calling seriously, that he just kind of did his own thing, that he was kind of... walking in ways, dealing, kind of flirting with temptation. He was playing with fire. And we thank you that you're able to still use him in such a way that you're able to still redeem him at the end, that he was able to repent and fulfill his calling in a sense. And for each one of us, I know that we deal with temptation every day. And I pray for each one of us in this room, I pray that you would help us to be faithful to you, that we would stay close to you, that we would follow after you, that we would have accountability partners and people who can support us so that we can be able to resist this temptation when it does come, that we'd be able to flee from it, and that you would be able to help us, use us, continue to use us in the way that you desire to use us. And so, yeah, may we continue to live after you with our whole hearts. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Shall we stand?